Dear loved ones in Jesus Christ, our Lord, bought and redeemed by His holy and precious blood, we read from God's holy and inspired word this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. For the love of Christ compels us, because we came to this conclusion, one died for all, therefore all died. And He died for all, so that those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died in their place and was raised again. As a result, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we knew Christ according to the flesh, we no longer know Him that way. So then, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. And all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, inasmuch as God is making an appeal through us. We urge you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Dear friends in Christ and fellow ambassadors of His love and reconciliation, this past week I was watching a show on television about a team of archaeologists who were examining some ancient Mayan sites in the jungle. Through a new form of technology, they were able to fly over the jungle in an airplane, and through a laser camera, they were able to see underneath the tree level and see previously unknown sites of importance in the Mayan culture. They came across hundreds of these locations throughout the jungle. And in one of these areas they came across was a cave. And a cave for the Mayan people was a very important and sacred place. Now, as they approached this cave from the jungle, no one would have known that it was really anything special. It didn't really look like anything more than maybe a crack in the rock or a divot in the landscape. But as they ducked in through this crack and they crawled through the narrow crevice, they eventually came to this wide open cavern underneath. And it's said that there's a whole network of these caves in that region of South America, and even underground rivers flow from one to the other. In the cave, the researchers were exploring these parts in the very beginning, and sometimes they could barely fit through some of these narrow passageways. There were times when they weren't sure if they were going to be able to continue traveling on or if they would have met the end of the line. But they squeezed through these narrow passageways. Some of them, the bigger individuals, couldn't even fit through them. But it opened up underneath. The Christian faith works in a very similar way, and our mission work reflects that. We see that in our text for today. Now, you've heard arguments before against the narrowness of the Christian faith, against the exclusiveness of the Christian faith. Jesus makes it very clear that He is the only way to heaven. As we just sang in this most recent hymn, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. Jesus Himself said that. The Apostle Paul also reiterated in the book of Acts that no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And there is no other way, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we can be saved. The Christian faith presents to us a very narrow entrance to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. That's one of the biggest criticisms of our faith, that it's too narrow. People don't like to listen to the Word of God as it gets very specific about right and wrong and what God commands in our lives. People look at a church like ours, and you've probably heard the complaint before that we're too strict, we're too old-fashioned, we're too stodgy, and the names go on and on, simply because we try to follow what the Bible says as it's written. What our culture seems to want today is not so much what God has to say, but a form of religion whereby they can express their own individual beliefs. Many people like to retain some of the customs and traditions of the Christian church. They like to hold on to the building and the location and maybe some of the hymns and the ways that we worship. But when it comes to content, not many people are looking for God to instruct them about the way to salvation. And the way that the Bible presents that is a very narrow thing. There is only one way. What do we learn when we come across the parts of the Bible that speak of this narrowness? How do we go about and approach that in our mission work today as we desire to share the love of Christ with the whole world? Today we focus on our mission work and we see how the Apostle Paul described this to the Corinthians. It's not just the law of God that keeps us narrow in our lives, that builds boundaries around what we should and should not do. Paul says the gospel also does this for us. And this is a crucial reminder for us living today in our modern culture, in our modern age, that the gospel itself restricts our lives in ways. And it builds around that aspect to give us a ministry of reconciliation. As Paul begins this section, he talks about how the gospel compels us. That word compel means to put pressure on something, to keep it restricted, to keep it hemmed in a direction. The gospel does that for us, Paul says. The gospel has that constraining and controlling quality. Well, we talk about the gospel in terms of freedom and liberation, just as God's word does as well. But that is freedom from the bondage of the law, from the effects of our sin, freedom from the condemnation that we deserve because of our actions and our inactions. The gospel's freedom does not give us the right to do whatever we choose in our lives. The gospel does not tell us, walk your own individual path and believe whatever you want because you're liberated. Even the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, meant for all people, compels us, constrains us, directs us by the love of Christ. It's like those cave systems in the jungle. There is a very narrow entrance to salvation through Jesus Christ. And when we walk that by faith, and when we believe in Him, it opens up for us the limitless grace and mercy that God has given and promised to the entire world. This narrowness of the gospel comes out in our text, as Paul says very clearly. The essence of the gospel is that one died for all. Only one. But it's meant for all people. Typically, as Christians, we don't fight against this sentiment of the gospel. We rejoice. We use the Bible and we say, yes, Jesus is the only way to salvation. But sometimes we forget how that plays out as we share the Word of God, as we apply that in our lives. The message of Christ's love for us is not something that fits into all belief systems in the world. It's something that comes alone by trusting in Jesus and following His Word. What we also recognize is that this does not just influence the gospel message, but Jesus Himself is the Word of God incarnate. He says that He is the Word made flesh. And so every teaching from God's Word is also delivered to us directly through Jesus as the Word. And so anytime we fight against any position of God's Word, any teaching of the Bible, if the world considers it important or not, does not matter. Anytime we come into contact with something that God has spoken on, it's also coming directly to us from our Savior. Jesus said in John chapter 10, very much along the same lines, at the very beginning of the chapter there, He said, I am the one door to the sheepfold. Jesus went on to say, anyone who tries to enter the sheepfold, God's kingdom outside of this one entrance. Jesus called that individual a thief and a robber. What we often remember from John chapter 10 is what Jesus went on to say, that he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. That no one can snatch someone out of the hands of Jesus. That Jesus knows his sheep as his own. You can't really find a more comforting chapter of the Bible than John chapter 10, as it depicts Jesus as our good shepherd. But it all started at the beginning with that one door. Through the narrowness of the gospel message that Jesus is the one Savior for all, God opens up to us the width and the height and the breadth of what that message means in our lives. But it only comes through Jesus. And so the gospel compels us by the love of Jesus. The gospel then is the only thing that leads us to treat other individuals outside of the flesh. Paul goes on to say, Jesus died for all, that those who live would live no longer for themselves, but for him who died in their place and was raised again. From the world's perspective, it sees mission work from a church as an outdated and archaic thing. In fact, many people believe today that churches actually impede helping people rather than actually accomplishing that. That churches get in the way of actually doing good things by their doctrine and by their practice and by their worship and by their insistence on what the Word of God says. The Bible makes the case that only through Jesus can we serve others in the way that God desires. The Bible tells us that the love of Christ compels us to not regard one another according to the flesh, but to see someone in the way that God truly sees them. It's not that you can't do a good and virtuous thing just as a regular action in your life. It's not that only Christians can do good things in the world. But the case that God makes in his word is that to serve one another as God wants us to reach a higher level of love and service that comes from Jesus alone, it can only be done by faith. It can only be done by the believer. And so we no longer regard individuals according to the flesh, but we see them as Christ sees them, as redeemed children of God that need to hear what he has done for them. This sentiment makes a huge difference in how we go about applying the gospel and how we practice our mission work. It's easy for us to back away from telling others about Jesus. It's easy for us to distance ourselves from what the Bible actually teaches and talk more generically in our lives. It's easy for us to offer a non-religious love and form of service that really has nothing to do with Jesus. Each and every one of us needs to look at our hearts and examine them to see if we've done this in our lives, if we're ashamed of what the Word of God says, if we're too afraid of actually presenting that to someone in our lives. Each and every one of us has those moments of doubt and temptation. We need to ask ourselves, do we believe that Jesus actually makes a greater difference than what I can do in my life? Does he allow and unlock to me a much higher form of love that only comes from God the Father in his grace? Or have I fallen into the trap of thinking that any faith and any belief can reflect the love of my Savior? Now that Paul has introduced that narrow sense of the gospel, it's the last half of our text that opens up that cavern of what reconciliation through Christ accomplishes. What we really have here in the back portion of our text are three parallel verses that say the same thing. And it's a good reminder for us that God's word works just like we do in our lives. When God repeats something over and over again, it's a good reminder that this is something important, just like when we repeat things in our lives. And so three times here in verses 18, 19, and 20, the word reconciliation comes up. And three times, this word reconciliation is governed by Jesus Christ. as a reminder of what reconciliation is, that word means to make friendly again. It's a word that speaks to relationships. When a relationship goes sour or when it falls apart, reconciliation brings that back together again. And in the Bible, in terms of the gospel, that is used to talk about our relationship with God. Sin broke that. Sin destroyed that relationship with God. And Jesus brings it back together again and reconciles us to God. So three times Paul speaks of this blessing from God and tells us that it is given through Jesus Christ. Verse 18, he says, God reconciled himself to us through Christ. There's the governing factor. We have this gift, but it's through Christ. And the result of that is that he has given us a ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, he says, God reconciled the world to himself in Christ. There's the governing factor again. This blessing comes to us only through Jesus. And then what does God do as a result of that? He entrusts to us the message of reconciliation. And verse 20 says the same thing. It simply flips it around. It talks about the ministry. We are ambassadors of Christ. We represent Christ because he has reconciled us to God on Christ's behalf. Three times, God says the same thing in these succeeding verses. And you see how this narrowness of the gospel opens up into the riches of reconciliation. In Christ, through Christ, on Christ's behalf, we become friendly with God again by faith. And as a result, he gives us the work of sharing that message with others. From the narrow to the broad. These are things that are helpful for us to understand, to believe, and to appreciate when it comes to our mission work. I certainly could stand up here and talk at a much greater length of how these truths from God affect the way that we work with others, the way that we share his word, the way that we spread this message of salvation. But you already know in your own heart how these things affect that. Too many people, when it comes to mission work, forget the riches of God's reconciliation through Jesus Christ alone. They forget what the true essence of the gospel is. And because of that, too many people and Christians relegate mission work to something that is based on how people respond to them. Ask your own heart how often these questions have entered it. Does that person fit with what I envision a Christian to be? If so, maybe they deserve the gospel. If not, maybe I shouldn't say anything. Has this person before me done enough good things to deserve hearing about Jesus, their Savior? Do they fit into that mold of somebody who's socially aware of what justice really is or what good works really are? Does this person have enough intellect, or are they too much of a simpleton to understand and appreciate something so profound as God's love in Jesus Christ, our Savior? How often we allow those thoughts into our hearts where if somebody does not fit the parameters of our expectations, we exclude them from the message of reconciliation. Or maybe it's not an academic thing to us, but it's a personal thing. Maybe somebody slighted us. Maybe somebody hurt us deeply. And we use God's word as a club against them. Something to hold over them. It's something to withhold from them until they show themselves worthy of it by saying that they're sorry. See how easily we play games with what God alone has done for us in Jesus Christ. See how easily we drift away from what the gospel really is, and we make it a work of our own. See how quickly God's call to spread the gospel to others can so quickly detract from our own faith and can affect what we believe about God. True mission work means working with the true gospel, and that is always centered on Christ. The gospel liberates, but the gospel also directs us. There's comfort and peace in knowing and believing that one Savior died for all. That will change the way we treat others. That will open up to us the fulfillment of God's promise that we can show the love of our Savior in our lives, something that escapes us by our own works and our effort. And it will change the way that we appreciate the great cavern of God's riches in Jesus Christ. That God has reconciled the world to Himself, and no matter who we come into contact with, God has died on the cross for their sins. Continuing to keep that strong in your heart, continuing to trust that for your own mistakes and rebellion against God, is what is going to lead and motivate you to share it with others. Truly, as the Apostle Paul summarizes, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. We rejoice in these words that give us greater focus in our mission work, that help us recognize that Jesus is the only way, and that by standing for Him in His Word, we are proclaiming the true message of salvation and love to the whole world. We ask that God would continue to equip us through that Word, that God would give us loving hearts that have been influenced and motivated by that gospel message, and that God would bless the work before us in our missions. Amen. Please rise.